I think that David, in Psalm 57 tonight, if you go there, was kind of feeling in a way that a lot of people are feeling today. Because remember, David was going through a tough time. David, number one, had a son, Absalom, that hated him and turned against him. And then David had a person that continually oppressed him, and that was King Saul. King Saul was constantly trying to kill David. And David never one time raised anything against Saul. He said, I will not raise my hand against the Lord's anointed. He would not touch him. And yet when you come to Psalm 57, this is another one of those psalms that are wrung from the soul of David. In very, very dark days when he was fleeing from Saul, he's running away. Imagine leaving Jerusalem, going out over to the wilderness area on the other side close to Moab. And going over to En Gedi in the actual Sea of Salt. And hanging out in caves, knowing that Saul is coming after you with his army. And he wants to kill you. Maybe tonight you find yourself in a situation similar where maybe you lost your job, can't pay your rent, you're having marriage problems or kid problems, and you've been feeling oppressed all day long, and you feel like David, you're running for your life. But David would always come to that place in his life where he understood that God was on the throne. God was on the throne. And so when David is writing this beautiful Psalm 57, it is called a Psalm of Mishtam Psalm. And that is David wished to have it really graven deeply, deeply upon his heart. He really wanted the psalm to be engraved in his heart. And it was handed over to the chief musician, like the previous psalm we read last week. And yet, there are three parts to the psalm. David talks about the calamities which were thronging him, the crisis which threatened him, and then the confidence that thrilled him in the Lord. Yes, I got all these problems. I have all these situations. The world is coming down, but God is still on the throne. I like that. God is still on the throne. And the psalm has a wonderful example here as we see David trusting in God fully and completely in everything that he does. He refers to God by name with a personal pronoun, no less than 21 times in this psalm. And in 11 short verses, he mentions the name of God 21 times. How many times do we use the name of God in the right way? People in the world use it in vain all the time. But David, in his mind, in his self-conscious, he is fully brainwashed. God is the one. He's the only one that can help me. He's the only one that can rescue me. He's the only one that can feed me. He's the only one that can clothe me. And I find it interesting that when Jesus is writing the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, in chapter 6, before Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, he's talking about not worrying about clothes, worrying about food, worrying about overhead, or anything else, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these things will be added unto you. Same thing David was thinking in his own heart, in his own life. And yet in this psalm, David was hiding from Saul in a cave. And have you ever been in a cave? It's a lonely place. A lonely place. It's not like home. And constantly thinking, if I go to sleep, will he sneak up on me and kill me? So David really, really had to trust in his God. So what does David do in this psalm? He prays. Prayer is the only thing you can really do. that really works when you really pray. He begins here in Psalm 57, verse 1. He says, "Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me." And again here, David, the psalmist here, is seeking asylum with the Lord. And he's experiencing these calamities and things that are happening because his enemy's coming against him. And he's saying, "What? Lord, hide me in your presence. Lord, you can hide me." He says, "For my soul trusts in you." May God help us to learn from David in times like these how to pray. Look how he's praying. "For my soul trusts in you. In the shadow of your wings I will make." Notice what he says here. "I will make" what? "I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by me." Lord, I'm going to stick by you till everything passes by me. I'm not leaving you, Lord. He spent a lot of time in the wilderness. And yet here, Paul the Apostle, when you read the book of Romans chapter 5 verse 3, Paul says that we give glory in our tribulations. We don't get bummed out. We don't curse God. We give glory in our times of troubles. And usually what do? We complain and we murmur. Because we're human. We're spoiled. And yet that should never be a Christian attitude. We should really have faith in the Lord. Like David, trusting in his own God. He says in verse 2, "I will cry out to the Most High God, to the God who performs all things for me." Look how beautiful this is here. David here confessing of his trust in the Most High God. And he says here, "to God who performs," that is to bring an end to or to complete all things for me. Lord, like Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, "I'm trusting in you, God, because you're the one that gives me all good things. You're the only one. My confidence and trust is in you fully and completely." And he's saying in verse 2, "the Lord hears when I speak." I like that. That I'm not speaking to the wall or to the sky. God hears when I speak to him. And then in verse 3, he says, not only does God speak and only hear, but God also helps me. He helps me. He says, "He shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who swallows me up." What is he saying? The people that are oppressed me, Saul and his army, God will take care of them. His son Absalom was taken care of. He hung by a tree and Joab came up and killed him and got rid of him. Selah, which means he pauses for a moment, meditation. Just pauses on God as he's praying. "God shall send forth his mercy and his truth." Notice that. God's faithfulness. God keeps his covenant with David as God keeps his covenant with us. He keeps his word. He doesn't break his word. He keeps it. In verse 4, he says, "My soul is among lions." Who's the lion? Satan. A roaring lion. Notice that. And here he says, "My soul is among lions. I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, whose teeth are like spears and arrows, and their tongue is sharper than a sword." Maybe you know somebody like that. That when they slander you, they use the sword, they use the spear, they use the arrows with the bow, and they cut you down. If you're a parent, you should not be doing that to your children. You should be gentle and kind and loving with them. If not, they'll grow up to hate you. And they'll do the same to their children. That's called abuse in the courts. Real important to be careful. If God doesn't do that to us, why should we do it to them? They're so little, so gentle, so kind, and so naive. We have a great responsibility as parents and grandparents to really take care of our kids and our children, to bring them up in the ways of the Lord. I was cracking up last night. I had to take care of three girls and one boy by myself. But it's cool. I never had girls. Man, girls are a great help. I'll tell you that right now. They know what to do. And my grandson was just, I was kind of laying back and he just laid on my chest for 2 hours. He wouldn't even move. It was so cool. And it's such a neat thing as we're watching Bible stories on TV, you know, we're watching these little videos and they're learning about God. And I'm sharing with them and praying with them and kissing them and just really loving them. And when they see you as a parent or they see you as a grandparent, they don't get intimidated. They see you with great joy and happiness and they're excited. That's what you want to do. You don't want to destroy their character, intimidate them. You want to be firm in love. And you never want to use your hand and you never want to use your feet. Because when you raise, these hands were made not to strike, they were made to touch and to love and to care for kids. You hit them on the head, they always they protect themselves all the time. See, I see kids all the time. You're going to, the protection, because they're used to their mom hitting them on the head or the dad hitting them on the head. Oh, you can use a spoon, that's a wooden spoon, that's a good one too. Not on the head, on the rear end. I mean, that's where discipline comes. And you have all these things that happen in life, you know. And here David's going into his mind and he's going through all these things that he's been through, things that he's into in at this very moment. And yet he says, what? God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. And then the lions come along, Satan and his demons. And what do? They come to press mom or press dad. Mom and they get in fights in front of the kids. Don't do that. You'll destroy your kids. Don't do that. You'll destroy them. That's what Satan wants. If you're going to argue, make sure you are alone when you talk. Otherwise, it's really, really bad for kids. So here again, he says, for my soul is among the lions. I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, whose teeth are like spears and arrows, and their tongue is a sharp sword. Husbands, don't use your tongue like a sword with your wife, and wives, the same with your husbands, in front of the kids, and when you're alone together. Don't do that. You're tearing down instead of building up. We need to be very careful. And I'm speaking to myself too. Verse 5. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be all the earth. Notice here. David, as a hunted man, David prays in answer to the attacks upon him. Verse 6, he says, they have prepared a net for my steps. What is a net used for? Hunting. They're hunting me. My soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit before me into the midst of they themselves have fallen, Selah. And he pauses again. They're hunting David down. Verse 7 says, my heart is steadfast. It's fixed on you, O God. My heart. Notice that. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Isn't that neat? Instead of murmuring, complaining, and saying bad things, why don't you praise the Lord? Worship the Lord. Sing praises to him. Give thanks to the Lord. I will sing and give praise. Awake, O my glory. Awake, lute and harp. I will awake, notice, at the dawn. Beautiful expression of David to God. Verse 9, I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing to you among the nations or the heathens. David, again, praising the Lord. He worshiped the Lord all the time. This is the way that he came before the Lord, praising, worshiping God. You know what? I cannot sing. You would blow your mind if I would say, everybody would go home immediately. When I'm in my car, I don't care what people think about me. Nobody's with me anyways, only the Lord. And it's so cool because God wants us to praise Him. Look what He says in verse 10. For your mercy reaches unto the heavens and your truth unto the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory be above all the earth. Notice how beautiful that. David here concludes this psalm with the refrain that he started in verse 5 with the Lord. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory be above all the earth. Then in Psalm 58, another one of David's psalms, Mishdam, a psalms. This is an engrave upon the mind and the conscience of David when he does this psalm. It carries a footnote addressing it to the chief musician. It's to be incorporated into the repertoire of the temple choir singing it. And then it's really cool because what he does, he starts out in the psalm, another prayer of David. He has all these prayers. You know, if you want to learn how to pray, read the psalms. I read the psalms at night, the proverbs in the morning. There's 31 proverbs, one proverb for every day in the week for the month. Sometimes there's 30 days in a month, then 31 in a month, you see? And the psalms is good at night to read to your children, to yourself, so that you're going to bed at night with praise and worship and good things that go into your mind and your heart, and they won't have those nightmares anymore as you're reading them the Word of God. Here we see David's comfort. The rulers, they were not only lacking sensibility in justice here. He starts out in verse 1 and he says, do you indeed speak righteousness? You silent ones, do you judge uprightly, you sons of men here? He's talking to the wicked, those that were oppressing. He's talking to them about God's standards of government and justice here. He says, no, in heart you work wickedness. You're not righteous. You weighed out the violence of your hands on the earth. Notice that. The reason here for the unjust rule, it lies where? In the nature of the heart of the wicked judges. You know what's amazing? Judges and lawyers do not understand sometimes in the Supreme Court, wherever they stand, whatever judge they are, that one day, whatever judgment they do unrighteously, they're going to be judged too. And so are lawyers representing their clients. He was speaking of those judges. Verse 3, he says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. Notice that. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Speaking of when they're born in wickedness and sin. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf cobra that stops its ears. You know, the cobra comes up like that and looks at you and then spits on you. He says, which will not heed the voice of charmers, charming ever so skillfully. Break their teeth in their mouth. Oh, I like David here. That's my favorite part of the psalm. David had a way of building up and all of a sudden he just got carried away. He says, yeah, you know what, Lord, help me to break their teeth. Break their teeth in their mouth, and God breaks out the fangs of the young lions, O Lord, speaking against his enemies. Notice that. And then the author here changes his analogy here to animate the actual water. He says, let them flow away as waters which run continually. When he bends his bow, let his arrows be as it cut in pieces. Notice that, the marksman here shooting it. Let them be like a snail, which melts away as it goes. During the summertime, I love getting salt and put it on snails. You know what happens? They melt away. That's what he says. I don't eat them, but I do make them melt away. Like a stillstorm child of a woman, that they may not see the sun. Before your pots can actually feed the burning thorns, he shall take them away as with a whirlwind, and in his living a burning wrath. So here, the verse is problematic here. The mood changes here from prayer to expectation and justice immediately. Here's David. And David is confident that God will now act quickly. Lord, you've been delaying, but now get them. Seek them, Lord, immediately. And I mean, think of how many times you and I think that God takes too long, but God knows his perfect time. Verse 10, the righteous shall rejoice when he sees the vengeance. Notice here, when we see true justice, we rejoice. Somebody kills your daughter, your husband, your wife, whatever, you want justice. You know what? The electric chair, not life imprisonment, we want them done now. That's justice. Think about that. And here he says, he shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. He's so angered over what they've done that he wants to see God immediately electrocute them. Or whatever he has to do. Lord, get them. They deserve it. They reap what they sow. And then check this out. This is pretty amazing. So that men will say, surely there is a reward for the righteous. Notice that here. God, the righteous one, that vindicates who? That vindicates you and vindicates me. Because he loves us. He says, no one can get away with what they do to you. God will take care of them. But in the same way, we have to be careful what we do to others because we'll reap to it. So we have to be careful. Surely, he is God. Check this out. Who judges who? The earth. Notice that. His final word here is in response to God's judgment here. The people will confess that the righteous and those who are morally true are rewarded, notice, or receive fruit for doing what's right. Psalm 59, again, a psalm of David. And David here again, he begins with a prayer. He says, deliver me from my enemies, O my God. So here, again, deliverance always by David. Lord, deliver me. Defend me from those who rise up against me. And like I said, think not only of someone that's against you today, but today we need to pray for who? For our government. Why? Because our government is trying to rise up and they're trying to stop preaching and teaching. They're trying to do that eventually. No radio, no television. Right now they're trying to pass a law to actually stop, you know, people on television and radio that are commentators like, you know, KKLA. And different ones, because we speak out freely, they want to stop that. They want to stop that. That we cannot talk against the evil. Because that's prejudice. And yet, anybody that's an enemy against God, we pray for them. We want them to be saved. We want them to come to salvation. We don't hate them because they're homosexuals or lesbians or fornicators or adulterers or liars or killers. No, we hate sin, not the person. And that's the difference here. And so David, in praying to God and asking for deliverance, he's praying, notice, to be delivered from his enemies. He says, oh my God, defend me from those who rise up against me. So if they're coming against me, then as a righteous person, I have to stand for what? For righteousness. In Rome, when they were killing Christians, there were those Christians that went up to Caesar Nero and they bowed their knees and said, Caesar Nero instead of Christ, and they were let go. But those that came and said, Jesus is Lord, they were crucified. They were cut in half. They were thrown into the lion's dens. They watch their babies and their families being torn apart, killed. And there may be a day that will come in the United States of America and the world. Well, the Bible says it when the Antichrist comes. If you don't take the mark of the beast, you'll have to be what? Beheaded. Beheaded. And right now we're fighting for our rights as Christians because they're trying to shut us down fully, completely. Here's David crying out. Verse 2. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloodthirsty men. He says, for look, they lie in wait for my life. Notice that they're still in ambush. They're watching me. Here David, having identified his enemies, he's describing their activities here. They set an ambush against David, that they might gather against me, not for my transgression nor my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves through no fault of mine. Awake and help me, and behold. Notice that. He's protesting here. Trouble is coming from the unjust. And then a cry for judgment here. You therefore, O Lord, God of hosts, God of the armies, the God of Israel, awake to punish all the heathens. Do not be merciful to any wicked transgressors. And then he pauses. I mean, you know, you can pray that way, because not because you hate, but surely you want to see the wicked being taken care of. Especially when they're trying to get rid of the kingdom of God and the gospel. He says, verse 6, at evening they return, they growl like a dog and go all around the city. Here David is exposing the wicked. They're going around barking like dogs. Maybe back in the 1980s, or maybe late 70s, there was a doctrine going around that by this ministry, they would bark like dogs. They thought that was spiritual. And I can just imagine it in my mind, as these guys going around, you're going around all over the place. He says, indeed they belch with their mouth. Swords are in their lips, for they say, who hears? Notice that. And then he says, but you, O Lord, shall what? Just what we did, shall laugh at them. He says, you shall have all the heathens in derision. Isn't that neat? Here, notice David in the midst of a drama, he's confessing his faith. I will wait for you, all you his strength, for God is my defense. Notice that. The Lord is stronger than who? My enemy. Write that down. Stronger than my enemy. My God of mercy shall come to meet me. God shall let me be or see my desires on my enemies here. These evildoers must be held accountable for their sins. They can't get away with it. And yet the wicked think he's getting away with everything they're doing. They're not. One day they're going to be judged. Pastor Chuck was on the radio with Greg Laurie about a couple years ago. And a professor from USC was on there in a Christian station. And the professor started saying that, you know, there's two Isaiahs, not one, and that the Bible is not true. And then Chuck says, you really believe this? He said, do you think that you know more than Jesus? And he says, oh yeah, I know more than Jesus. Because, you know, I'm an intellectual and I'm educated. And when Chuck heard that, Chuck took the phone and hung up on him. And Greg Laurie was left on the other side of the other stations, and they called Chuck back, and they said, oh, well, Chuck, we lost you. He says, yeah, I did it purpose. I hung up on that guy. I said, you know, I don't want to talk to him anymore. If he's bigger than Jesus, why talk to him? And that's true. Think of how many people that are intellectuals think they're better than God. And they're stronger than God. And they're little worms. I was telling someone the other day, it's amazing how we tonight, after we leave here, we'll go home, we'll get in bed, we'll close our eyes, we'll go to sleep, and never once think, I got to control my breathing. When there's people in the hospitals that have this machine that controls their breathing on life support. We take advantage of it. Why? Because we go to sleep every night. And you got to hold our breath in his hand. You may not wake up tomorrow. We need to have the consciousness of God in everything that we do. That's why David is so good at writing these Psalms. He says, do not slay them, verse 11. Lest my people forget, scatter them by your power and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. For the sin of their mouth and their words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride and for their cursings and lyings which they speak. He's praying for the evil ones. Consume them in wrath. Notice David calls for judgment. That they may not be. And let them know that God rules in Jacob to the ends of the earth. And again he pauses for a moment. Meditation. At evening, they return. Again, they growl like dogs. And they go all around the city barking. They wander up and down for food. And they howl if they are not satisfied. Oh! For more food. Verse 16. But I will sing. They'll howl, but I'll sing. And maybe some of you that sing sound like you're howling. Don't worry about it, okay? But I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning, for you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. You guys, underline those things. Seriously, underline mercy, morning, defense, refuge, trouble. All these things, God takes care of us. That's so awesome. I love it. Look what he says. To you, O my strength, I will sing praises, for God is my defense and my mercy. There is again, who defends us? The Lord. He's my defense and my mercy. And then Psalm 60, he continues. Again, David. He begins there in verse 1 and he says, O God, you have cast us off. Now he's in a bummer here. Notice that, poor David. He says, O God, you have cast us off. You have broken us down. You have been displeased. Oh, restore us again. Here, David asking God to restore his relationship with God and the people. He's feeling abandoned. You ever feel abandoned? Like God's left you? There are people that feel like that. There are times you feel like, Lord, where are you? I mean, here my husband's beating on me, or my wife is leaving me, and these are going on, and you know, Lord, we really need you, and where are you? You're not speaking. I feel alone. Then he said, you have made the earth tremble. You have broken it. Heal its breaches, for it is shaking. You have shown your people hard things, and you have made us drink the wine of confusion. And then check this out. You have given a banner to those who fear you, that it may be displayed because of the truth, Selah. So here, it's a cry for salvation. Why? Because God is the one that really saves me. The banner here, designation of a place for the godly can go and find refuge and protection, shelter. And God will protect you. Verse 5, that your beloved may be delivered, save with your right hand and listen to me. Please hear me, O God. God has spoken in his holiness. Notice that here. Answering their prayer. Here, the people, the Lord gives an oracle here of hope. God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and measure out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim also is the helmet of my head, Judah is my lawgiver, Moab is my washpot, over Edom I will cast my shoe, Philistia, shout in triumph, because of who? Because of me, a cry for victory, notice that. Verse 9, who will bring me to the strong city? Who will lead me to Edom? It is not you, O God, who cast us off, and you, O God, who did not go out with our armies. And then he says this, give us help from trouble, for help of men is useless. Underline that. Give us help from trouble. Check this out. For the help of men is what? Useless. He says, through God we will do valiantly, For it is He, God, who shall tread down our enemies. Man, I love David. He's so down to earth. And the victory and the confidence that we have is in God. And God gives us the victory no matter what we go through, because He is God. Father, I pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord God, praying through these Psalms, Lord God, we pray for the people that are here tonight, Lord God, for those watching through the internet and those that will be listening through the CDs, Father, we pray on radio, Lord God, that You would continue to speak loud and clear to each one of us individually, Lord God. And just with every eye closed, every head bowed, before we leave tonight, we got some time right now. I want to do something real special tonight because of David. That as we come before Him, first of all, if there's anybody here that is not a Christian, somebody brought you here, which means you've never have been born again of the Holy Spirit, you've never repented before God for your sins, He can cleanse you and wash you by His blood if you can come by faith tonight and you confess your sins to Him. He'll wash you by His blood. He'll write your name in His book of life. He'll give you the assurance of eternal life. And if you were to die today, you would go to heaven. If there's anybody, first of all, here that doesn't know the Lord, young, old, I don't care who you are, you want to receive Jesus, please stand to your feet, walk out onto the aisle, come down here to the front, stand here where I am. I'm going to pray with you. Anybody here? Anybody else? This is a time for those that do not know Christ. A time where God wants to deliver you from sin. He wants to give you the assurance of eternal life, and He wants to cleanse you and wash you by His blood. And He wants to make you a new person tonight. I don't care what you've done, where you've been. Doesn't matter. With God, nothing's impossible. All things are possible through Him. Anybody else before we pray? Mother, father, brother, sister, son, friend, whoever you are. You can leave here the same way you came, without anybody, without anything. In your sins. Miserable, depressed, oppressed, whatever. Awesome. Anybody else before I pray? I want to make sure that you've come. Father, we want to thank You so much for these that have come. I pray for each one of them individually. And those of you that have come, I want you to pray with me this prayer. Repeat after me and ask Christ to come into your hearts, okay? Pray with me this prayer. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to You that I have sinned against You. I ask You to cleanse me, wash me by Your blood, and I receive You and accept You as my Lord and my Savior by faith. Lord God, I ask You to wash me by Your blood completely and fully. And I give You my heart fully. And I receive You as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to give you a Bible, some literature. See the guy right over there, you guys? Go right over there. Follow through there. Awesome. Awesome.